start the history of Northern Minnesota without talking about the role played by the Finns, and we'll have Pam Brunfeldt out later in the show, esteemed historian with a fair amount of Finnish history and heritage herself. She'll tell us about some of the characters that made life here in Crow Wing County interesting a century ago. But we're not just talking about the past tonight. It's time to look forward to the future sometimes, and even the gentleman we had out earlier, Kyler Adams, had something to say about that. 90 years ago, Kyler Adams gave an interview to the American magazine, and he cautioned against being too wistful about the accomplishments of those who came before.
Young men sometimes make me impatient when they argue that we older men have used up all the great opportunities. There are about as many opportunities at one time as at another. I only wish that if I were sure of living another 25 or 30 years, in order to do some of the things that I see crowding to be done right now. What men lack at any time is not opportunities. There are always plenty of those. But the knack of opening the door in their minds, if you can call it that, which gives them the courage to decide on something and to see it through.
I wonder what his dog, Una, would have said about that.
A lot of generic use of the word man, don't you think, Kyler?
It was the custom of my time. Men were the breadwinners.
Men talked to dogs and named iron ranges after them.
That was my wife's idea. What do you mean?
Yes, the Cuyuna Iron Range has a lot of tradition to it, but it's a different place now than even 30 years ago. Take a drive through Ironton and Crosby, and you'll see towns that are distinctly Iron Range, similar in age, design, and bar-to-people ratio as what you find up on the Mesabi. But there's no mining here, not anymore. Downtown Crosby is full of antique shops. The woods around here run thick with tourists and retirees, and the kids tell people they're from a little town kind of near Brainerd, closer to Minneapolis than to an iron mine. It's a place of close margins, locals to visitors, Republicans to Democrats, Crosbyites to Irontonians. You can barely see the line between these distinctions, so closely they are entwined. And I see that it's even still a controversy in the Wednesday edition of the paper here in town, deciding whether this is the Cuyuna Range or the Cuyuna Lakes now, as the debate rages on. And, I touched a nerve right there. Did you feel that?
Heated. This is going to get heated.
Yeah. I'm going to leave that one alone. I tell you what we can all agree on, though. Hot dish. I think we can all agree on hot dish. And I was... And, of course, I was at your Heartland Kitchen yesterday, having a lovely afternoon lunch. And the special yesterday was tater tot hot dish.
A classic.
It is a classic. And... She said it was the special, and I asked, I had to ask. Some sort of deep primal urge came about me. I had to know more about it, because as many of us might know, there are variations on the hot dish. Hot dish is a nebulous term. It comes with family history. They change over time, much like a language, such as the nuance of a hot dish. So I had to ask what was in the hot dish. And so several questions went by. I asked the waitress what was in the hot dish. We found out, and then, of course, I don't know what compelled me to do this, but at the very end of my line of questioning, I asked the question, well, do you recommend it? Like, because there's a trust there, the trust that says, I trust the waitress to tell me if it's not something I should eat. And of course, she said it was good and I should eat it. And so I did. I ordered it. It was lovely. But before it came, I had to laugh. There was, at the table next to me, another couple, and she ran through the specials and everything with them, and he asked the exact same questions I did, all of them, ending with the question, do you recommend it? And she did. And I felt pretty proud that I was tuned in with what's important about a hot dish. But then I wasn't so proud. I don't think this was a proud moment, because for the first time ever, I Instagrammed my meal. I put my food on social media. And it was two things. One, it was the first time I did that. And secondly, looking around the room there, here in Crosby, I think that was the first time that had been done there. Didn't seem like it fit in.
So you were a ranger up to that point.
Up till that point. And that's where it came unraveled, such as the paradox of my life. Not that you need to know more about that. So the Cuyuna Range has got so much going on, and there are several people from Crosby who have gone on to success in the world. And Dr. Robert Good was the first physician to perform a successful bone marrow transplant, a process that has gone on to save thousands of lives. He grew up a son of teachers here in Crosby. Crosby and Ironton was also home to many of the veterans of past wars, keeping the tradition of high levels of service among the working class people of the Iron Range, where volunteer rates during World War II and at other times in our history was so high. One of them was Robert Polich, a decorated World War II pilot. And of course, I read that Crosby is also the hometown of professional boxer Anthony the Bullet Bonsante, and I read that on the computer. I don't know if he's well known, but that there is one tidbit about Crosby history that I found quite fascinating. Quite fascinating indeed. It's a fact that the United States government conducted Cold War experiments in Crosby, Minnesota, with the purpose of fighting off the Russians. I couldn't make this up if I tried, folks. The feds even had a secret military installation at the Portsmouth Mine. In 1957, just before the first artificial satellite would go into orbit, military leaders decided on a different kind of mission, Project Manhigh.